أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ورسولا إلى بني إسرائيل أني قد جئتكم بآية من ربكم أني أخلق لكم من الطين كهيئة الطير فأنفخ فيه فيكون طيرا بإذن الله وأبرئ الأكمه والأبرص وأحيي الموتى بإذن الله وأنبئكم بما تأكلون وما تدخرون في بيوتكم إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ومصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ولأحل لكم بعض الذي حرم عليكم وجئتكم بآية من ربكم فاتقوا الله وأطيعون إن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم. And we'll send him as a messenger to the children of Israel with a message, I come to you with a sign from your Lord, which is that I will fashion out for you a creation out of clay after the manner of a bird. Then I'll breathe into it a new spirit, and it will become a soaring being by the command of Allah. And I will heal the night blind or the congenitally blind and the leprous, and I will quicken the dead by the command of Allah, and I'll announce to you what you will eat and what you will store up in your houses. Surely therein is a sign for you if you are believers. And I come fulfilling that which is before me, namely the Torah, and to allow you some of that which was forbidden unto you, and I come to you with a sign from your Lord, so fear Allah and obey me. Surely Allah is my Lord, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. That is the right path. Last week, we had not yet exhausted the study of the 50th verse, which begins with Varasulun ila Bani Israel. So I'll start from where I left. Whenever I use the word exhaust, you know, an alarm bell begins to ring in my mind. In reality, nobody can exhaust the meaning of any verse of the Holy Quran. So when I use the word exhaust, I mean myself, not the meaning of the Holy Quran. But as far as I am concerned, I was not yet fully exhausted when we finished the study of that verse. And that too is also a relative term, because with the passage of time, more knowledge is revealed to you by the study of the Holy Quran. So the process in itself becomes inexhaustible. Each reader of the Holy Quran would find new meanings dawn upon him from time to time as he proceeds along. Like every dawn of the day is not exactly alike. Every dawn has something new to bring to you. Similarly, the study of the Holy Quran offers you a sight like the revolving earth, sitting on which you see different dawns appear every day. we were discussing the fact that although this verse speaks of some miracles in material terms, speaks of such transformations which according to the laws of nature are not likely to take place, but under the spiritual influence of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, such transformations did take place, and some miracles were wrought by him, Bhajanala of course, but which normally are considered to be impossible. And from the study of the Holy Quran, we understand that God does not permit anyone else to share those special attributes of his which are responsible for bringing about such transformations as I mentioned in this verse. But as far as the extreme meaning or connotation of these verses are concerned, what I said holds water, is correct, and we maintain that position without any deviation whatsoever. But as far as such miracles are concerned, which do not defy the laws of God, as mentioned in the Holy Quran and as observed in nature, anything less than that could be acceptable. And when Jesus Christ is mentioned to possess a special power of healing, although we can understand it better in spiritual terms, and we can claim that all that is being referred to is spiritual healings of fantastic nature, apparently unbelievable quality of spiritual healing was possessed by Jesus Christ, so that those who were almost or actually spiritually dead, they were revived by him. In that there is no violation of the laws of nature or any claim of the Holy Quran elsewhere. So that is acceptable. But now what I am pointing out is this, that apart from that, even physical meaning, literal meaning, is acceptable to us to a degree where it does not violate the laws of nature or the dictates of the Holy Quran. And perhaps this is what is meant. Every prophet is sometimes endowed with a special quality which is looked at by the others as miracle. Some are endowed by certain exceptional qualities, some by others. So Jesus Christ might have been, and in fact we believe he was actually also granted a special quality of healing even the physically ailing, even the physically diseased, but not to the degree as and is understood by some scholars, but below the point where it would begin to interfere with the laws of nature, laws of God I should say, not nature, but and the dictates of God. That is not possible. So let us study such possibilities. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has most beautifully demonstrated it, and he has established the fact in his own example that this is how things happen and people misunderstand. He presents himself as a repeat of Jesus Christ. He said if any special qualities were granted to him, it's impossible for God not to have granted to me, because he says I am very similar to Jesus Christ, so similar that his name is given to me. So if I am denied any special powers, we can positively say that the earlier Messiah was also denied. But if I am endowed with miraculous powers in the same regions, in the same field, as Jesus Christ is claimed to have possessed earlier, then you can, from my demonstrations of those powers, you can exactly measure where Jesus Christ stood in the earlier times That is what he was doing, which was misunderstood by others and exaggerated out of all shape. So this is a very beautiful study of similarities between Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam and the Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, of old. And also, it opens us a window to peep into the realities of life. What happened at the Jesus Christ's time? What actually was passing through? What was passing at that time? To which the Holy Quran is referring. You know, now I am turning my attention to that possibility of the connotation of these verses. In Khutbah al-Hamiya, in that sermon which was revealed to Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam while he was delivering, he says, "Utito sifat al-ifnai wal-ihyai." I have been given the quality or attribute by God of bringing death or producing life. In what sense? We'll see it as we proceed. In Haqiqatul Wahi, I have given the references here. In Khutbah al-Hamiya, Ruhani Khazain, volume 16, page 56, you will find this. And in Haqiqatul Wahi, Ruhani Khazain, volume 22, I suppose, yes, page 86, 87. He says, it is a word of God that by through my agency or through my good office, I mean through me, let's say, not agency, through me, the diseased would be cured. And that because of a special blessing from Allah, from heaven. And the disease would not only be spiritual, but they would also be physical, ailing physically. He says that as far as the physical ailments are concerned, I have myself observed repeatedly that many patients who were in a very precarious situation were cured with my prayer miraculously. Haqiqatul Wahi, as I have quoted. So, in Haqiqatul Wahi, he illustrates this and demonstrates how it happened and how it used to happen in his time. He quotes one example concerning his own son, Mirza Mubarak Ahmed. And this is 104th sign which he has quoted in Haqiqatul Wahi. He says, once he fell very seriously ill and was repeatedly swooning. He would come to and then fall into another swoon. And the women folk were surrounding him. I was praying at that time, and then I heard a voice that he's dead. No more can be done about him. Then I went up to him, I touched his body and concentrated on prayer, addressing myself to God, and within 2 to 3 minutes he started breathing again and his pulse started beating as well. Then it was revealed to me, this struck me, that this is the type of Ehyaimota, quickening the dead, which was brought about by Jesus Christ earlier. That is to say, a person was not dead. He was supposed to be dead, but with the touch of a pious, godly person who was specially bestowed with these healing and reviving qualities, he returned to the living in, not from the dead, but from the near dead. But people, the ignorant people, exaggerated such occasions out of all shape and started making legends out of it. Another example which he quotes is that of the son of one of the sons of Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib, Rais Maler Kotla. He was a Nawab of Maler Kotla, whose son from an earlier marriage, Abdul Rahim Khan, once fell ill to a degree that he was declared incurable, and the competent physicians had declared him to be about dead, not only in the sense that he had reached a very critical period, but the disease in itself was declared to be incurable, and there was no hope as far as the medical profession was concerned. So Hazrat Masih Maud tells us, in Hakikat al-Wahi, page 88-89, Rohani Khazain, volume 22. He says that when I started praying, I realized that the matter was beyond ordinary prayer, and intercession will have to be exercised. Without that, it is impossible for such a patient to recover from near death. So I interceded. But the moment I did that, I heard an admonition from my Lord, Allah, Manzal lazi yashfa indahu illa bizne. Who is it who can dare to intercede before God without his prior permission? So this voice silenced me. After about a minute, another revelation addressed me, saying, Inna kantal majaz, verily you have been permitted. At that, I started praying again, and this time it was by way of intercession. So that at that very instant, on that very day, the patient turned the corner, and he started traveling towards health rapidly, as if he had come out of a grave, walked out of a grave. I know that the miracles of reviving the dead, miracles of reviving the dead by Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, were no more than these which were shown by me, which God had bestowed upon me. And this was the nature and quality of those miracles. He said, such cases of reviving of the dead are numerous, which I have gone through myself, which I have, demonstrated myself to the world. Again, he mentions the case of Sheikh Abdul Rahman, a trader from Madras. In the same book, same volume, page 339, 338, 142nd sign. He says that, I'll tell you in just, that Abdul Rahman, the Ajar Madras, was a very, very devout person who was in the very forefront of those who sacrificed and were ready to sacrifice all they had in the path of Allah. And as such, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam held him very dear and close to himself. And this is what he repeatedly says about him, that his quality of faith and sacrifice was so high and so excellent that when I heard of this disease which was reported to me, it filled me with deep sorrow, and I continued praying for him day and night, and I couldn't think of other things but to pray for him. And he repeatedly emphasizes the quality of his faith and how he deeply he was struck by that possible loss and the impending loss. So the disease which was reported was carbuncle. He was a man of advanced age, quite old, nearing perhaps beyond 70 or something, and he was a patient of diabetes, and carbuncle had appeared on the back of his neck. Now all these three factors make the case fatal. Carbuncle in itself is a very, very threatening type of abscess which has many roots and goes on spreading. Even if a patient is not suffering from diabetes, carbuncle could become fatal in its own. If the patient is diabetic, then generally, at least at that time, the doctors declared that there was no visible hope for such a patient. If on top of that he was of an advanced age, where the resistance level has already fallen compared to the early youthful age, then these three factors almost declare that patient to be past remedy and virtually dead. So he said, after the prayer, he received an intimation that he was feeling better, but later on, again when the full report was conveyed to me about the nature of the disease and the precarious situation, then again I felt the urgent need to pray for him, because I knew he himself knew the art of healing, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, so he understood the implication very well. He said that report of temporary relief did not satisfy me then, and knowing the full nature, then I started praying for him in all earnest, with deep personal involvement. And then God gave him the glad tidings that his prayer was accepted. And from then on, the carbuncle started healing. And the doctor said it is impossible, it shouldn't have happened. And then the test disclosed that there was no trace of the disease, nothing, no sign of the disease left at all. So again Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says, this is Ihya'i Mauta, the revival of the dead, which must have been misunderstood and exaggerated by the followers and the companions of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. This is a very interesting case, and this demonstrates to us the spiritual experimentations in which we can also participate in our own way. And the mental processes of a prophet of God vis-a-vis his relationship to him and probing of various possibilities is a very interesting case, bringing to light all these areas before us. He says that his brother, Mirza Ghulam Qadar, the late Mirza Ghulam Qadar, once fell very seriously ill, and he was dissipated to a degree that only bones were left and no signs of any flesh was visible. He could not even move from the bed. All his requirements were to be met lying down, and people tended him, and nobody knew what was happening. You know, a sort of wasting disease, as it is called, it was understood at that time. The person goes on wasting, and gradually it dissolves into nothingness. His father, Hazrat Musim Adar Sattva Salam's father himself, was a physician of a very high quality and wide renown. So when he saw the state of his son, he declared it to be incurable and said, don't bother about him anymore. Nothing can be done about him, because he was an experienced physician. He said, at that time I was young, and I had very special power of putting hard labor by way of very, very hard exercising hard worships, spiritual exercises of hard demanding nature. He says I could undertake them. So suddenly there was a challenge within me. Why not do something about your brother? Why you think you have a special relationship with God? That was much before he was made a prophet, The earlier state of his mind and his heart is depicted in all this. So he said, I took up the challenge. He said, all right, I'm young, I can go through a lot of, worshipping exercises to please God, and I would try to save his life. So then he said, there were three factors very clearly before my mind in making this decision. Number one, I wanted to find out where I stood before my Lord. How lovely it is, eh? Secondly, I wanted to find out whether those warnings which people have served in the dreams and revelations, are they final, or can they be changed or averted? I mean, they are the decrees which nobody can change, or they are just warnings so that you do something about them and you can change them. So, because he took it to be almost a decree, so that was a test case for him. He said, I wanted to find out what actually happens. Third, he said that, does the prayer play such an important role as even to bring the people from near death or not? Retrieve the people who are almost dead. What is the extent of the prayer's miracle in itself? The miracle of prayer, that was my study. And I wanted to find out if what is the extent of the prayer's powers. So he started concentrating and praying to God. And I started praying on him, standing before him and concentrating on him and praying on him. He said, مجھے اس ذات کی قسم جس کے ہاتھ میں میری جان ہے کہ دعا کے ساتھ ہی تغیر شروع ہو گیا. That I bear witness to my Lord who possesses power over my soul and over my being, that the moment I started praying in this, after all this determination, the change in him was visible for the better. And during those days, I also was shown in a dream that he was walking on his own feet by himself without any prop. He said within 15 days it happened that such a person who was written off, he said, I have a very strong desire that I should walk on my own feet. So would you please let me do it? And they permitted it to him, and lo, he started walking on his own feet without any prop. And he lived 15 years after this incident. Again, Hazrat Masih, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, is told to have special powers over bestowing vision to those who had lost vision or who were born without vision. You know, that is what is understood. But as I explained earlier, that seems to be an exaggeration. What he might have done, because the Arabic word akmaha indicates on the authority of Khalil, somebody who had vision previously but lost vision later on. So could perhaps possibly he did that. I mean, that was the nature of the miracle. Now we read about Hazrat Masih. It is said that while he was passing by, he was going somewhere, he heard a blind man who cried and addressed him, and by saying, O son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ stood and turned to him and asked what he wanted so that he could do that for him. He requested that I want you to do me the favor of restoring my sight so that I can open my eyes again. Jesus took pity upon him, and he touched his eyes, and they opened, and he started seeing. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, one of the blessed sons of Hazrat Masih Maud, has written a book on the biography of Hazrat Masih Maud, and also he delivered various lectures during his the later period of his life, Hazrat Bashir Ahmad Sahib's life, in Jalsa Salanas, that is the annual conventions of MGA community at Rabwa. And in those lectures, he apprised us of various very interesting incidents of Hazrat Masih Maud's life. So we have taken these passages from the writings of Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, either published in his book or included in his addresses of annual convention. But before that, I'll read to you what I have already read to you about the Bible. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib says, مسمات امتولہ بیبی سکنا علاقہ خوست مملکت کابل نے مجھ سے بیان کیا. There was a lady who had migrated at the time of Hazrat Masih Maud علیہ السلام from علاقہ خوست where Sarzada Abdul-Latif Sahib was martyred. And there were many followers of Sarzada Abdul-Latif Shaheed who migrated after this incident of martyrdom from خوست. And he commanded a very wide respect in that area. So many of his followers became Ahmadis and started migrating to Qadian during the lifetime of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhis salam. This Samtullah was one of those. She mentioned it to Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib that during my childhood I used to suffer from some eye ailment so terribly that it became impossible for me to open my eyes, and this disease went on progressing very seriously until it became intolerable and impossible for me to sustain, to bear with. My mother tried whatever was in her power, my parents tried whatever was in their power to do, but they failed, and no physician could cure me of that. Still they continued putting eye drops into my eyes by forcibly opening them, which I could not open at all. So once it so happened that when my mother, I was in extreme pain, and my mother wanted to put the eye drops into my eyes, I just said, no, I won't have this. I'll go to Hazrat Masih Maud alayhis salam and request him to give me a dam. That is to say, put his hand, touch me with his hand, with blessed hand, and pray, that sort, or breathe into some water and give me that as a tabarruk of things. So I suddenly ran away from my mother's clutches and went to Hazrat Masih Maud alayhis salam's house, and simply in my childhood I told him what I came for and said that I'm in terrible pain, there is no cure, so please touch my eyes with your hand, with your blessed hands, and do something about them. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam was so deeply moved by this child's simple, innocent cry that he immediately did as he was told. You know, instead of saying, I'll pray or do this, he said, what you say, I'll do that. And he touched, wetted his finger with his the saliva of his mouth, and touched her eyelids with that wetted finger on both sides. And what he said was very important. That shows that he must have been received a message from God, although he didn't say it to that child. But he said, now you run away, and this ailment would never visit you again. She reported this when she was 70 years old, and she said, during all my life I never suffered from eye trouble again. And this is the lady whom I also saw in my childhood, and also when I was a boy at Stook College, and I remember her very clearly. Her eyesight was just wonderful, and she ran about here and there and worked in the house and everything. And until I heard it from Hazrat Mir Bashir Ahmad Sahib, I could never have imagined that this child was suffering so seriously in her, this lady was suffering so seriously in her childhood. So, another incident of what might have happened at the time of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. You see, that revives our faith, reassures us of so many things. The truth that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was a true prophet of God, and he did work certain miracles, even physically. And what was the nature? This is the nature. And that Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam is a true replica of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. And he was also bestowed the same spiritual power as the earlier Jesus Christ was bestowed with. Then about Hazrat Mia Bashir Ahmad Sahib himself, who reports this eye cure about Amtullah Begum, we used to call her Lal Pari. And Hazrat Masih Maud Aleyhi Salatu Wasalam himself writes. You know, it's very interesting that Hazrat Mia Bashir Ahmad Sahib is reporting a case about someone else, and the similar case is being reported about himself by Hazrat Masih Maud Aleyhi Salatu Wasalam. He writes that my son, in Haqiqatul Wahi, the same reference, page 240, he says that my own son, Mirza Bashir Ahmad, once suffered from some eye ailment which was so serious that the doctors declared that there was every danger of his losing his eyesight permanently. Then I prayed to God in all earnest, and it was revealed to me, Barraqa Tifli Bashir, that my son Bashir is capable of seeing. Barraqa Tifli, his eyesight has been restored, and he is given the light in the eyes. You know, that sort of expression it is. So, this was told to about 100 people who witnessed all this. And then, Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, as you know, lived a very long life with very healthy eyesight and didn't suffer from eye troubles anymore. It reminds me of one incident. At the time of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think it was during the Battle of Uhud, that one companion of the Holy Prophet, during the fight, came to him with one eyeball hanging out of the eye socket, and it was such a horrible sight to look at. But he said, "Do something, you know, pray or something." So Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed and put back with his own hands, taking it with the holder in his fingers, the eyeball back into the socket. And this companion of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, reached a ripe old age and used to show that eye, which as compared to the other healthy eye, was so strong in eyesight and so prominently outstanding in health that it shone out. Nothing happened to that eye again. While the other eye went through the normal course of decay and deterioration. So these things do happen also physically, but within the realm of God's laws, not in defiance to God's laws or in defiance to God's statements as mentioned in the scriptures. So this is why we always qualify the description of miracles, not because we can't believe in God's power, He can do anything, but because we believe that He cannot contradict Himself. That is madness. That is what the Holy Quran would not permit us to believe in God. So these are our limitations. Below them, anything can happen and has happened. But the real emphasis, according to Hazrat Masih Maud Aleyhi Salatu Wasalam, despite all this, is spiritual. So he says, the real purpose of my coming, why God sent me, was that I bestow eyes to those who are blind since 1900 years. That is to say, that part of humanity which since the time of Jesus Christ has remained blind and could not even recognize Ahazah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to spread the message of Islam to them and to give them a new spiritual sight. That is the purpose of my coming. Liyuzirahu ala dine kullihi. That is from Al-Ishtihar, Mustaqiman bi wahyi Allah al-Qahar, page 3. It is said about Jesus Christ that he used to cure people with raging fever just by his touch. In Matthew 15:14-8, it is said, Jesus visited Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law suffering from high fever. He touched her hand with his hand and the fever disappeared. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam writes about an incident of a similar nature about his own son, late Hazrat Mirza Sharif Ahmed Sahib, in Haqiqatul Wahi, page 88,787. But this is how it is written. Could be 87, 88. You know, must be. Yes. Not must be, but could be. Eh? Maybe some other mistake has been committed. Yes. He said, once my son Sharif Ahmed fell ill, and the nature of the fever was similar to that of typhoid. But it became so serious that he became unconscious and remained it unconscious for many days. For a long time, not many days, for a long time. And in his unconsciousness, he beat himself with his hands, or right and left, you know. Now this, I also have been practicing homeopathy for a very long time, and I know these symptoms are very serious symptoms in typhoid. When somebody begins to pick with his hands in unconsciousness, these are generally the signs of approaching death, where the typhoid fever is getting out of the control. Because it begins to strike the gray cells, the brain cells, and after that either the patient is incurable or he permanently, his brain is damaged and he suffers from the aftermath incurably. So that was, as Srimad Satvaswami is describing him to have reached a similar stage. Now, on top of that, that was the time of plague, when Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam was predicting plague to befall his enemies. So that, complicated the situation very much. So Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says, keeping all this in view, I prayed very specially for this child, and I was afraid of the enemies' jeers and jaunts, jeers and taunts. So when I prayed to God, then I was granted that those special moments when you know that the prayer is accepted. Here he doesn't mention a revelation, but he says, then I was granted those very special moments when the one who is begging from Allah knows that the prayer has been accepted. He stood up for prayer. You know, that is, he was praying, not just sitting, but in prayer. He says, when I reached the third rakat, then I went into a state of vision. And with my visionary eye, I saw my boy to be healthy and completely without the signs of any, without any traces of illness. Then that the state of vision disappeared, and I turned and looked at him, and he was sitting on his bed and playing. One moment he was, you know, burning in fire and completely unconscious, and he asked for water. Of course, immediately he was provided with water, and when we touched his body, there was no sign of fever whatsoever. Then about Jesus Christ, he said that he could cure the raving mad, the people who are not only mad but, you know, beyond control, sometimes were chained. But I mean, not necessarily chained, but somebody who is very advanced in madness. It is reported, it is recorded in Injil, Luca, verse 9, 30, chapter 9, 38, 43. One of the present in the crowd cried out, "O Master, I beg thee, I pray thee, have a glance of pity on my only son. An evil spirit haunts him and takes possession of him." And suddenly he cries out, and that evil spirit rings him like a cloth. And he begins to foam at his mouth. Then Jesus asked him to present the child to him. And in the very sight of Jesus Christ, that evil spirit, which he thought was an evil spirit, of course it was an attack of epilepsy or similar disease, or some mental disorder, whatever it was, Jesus Christ spoke too harshly to that evil spirit. And suddenly the disease, or according to him, the evil spirit left him, and that boy was cured. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has quoted an example, a similar case of a mentally ill person which was declared to be incurable. But this is to be, this is a matter in which one can have two opinions. That case, as reported in the Bible, appears to me a case not of a mental illness, but of epilepsy. And similar cases of epilepsy have been cured even by me in homeopathic and with prayer together. So that is an ordinary thing. But the case which has been reported by Hazrat Mir Bashir Ahmad Sahib about Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam is something which is very rare. Not only rare, which according to the known medical science even today is impossible. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam himself writes about him. And this has been quoted by Mir Bashir Ahmad Sahib as well. Abdul Karim, son of Abdul Rahman, resident of Hyderabad, Dakhan, that is the South India, Hyderabad. He is a student in. I'll tell you the gist of what he has written. He is a student, according to him, when he was writing this, at Qadian, who was bitten by a rabid dog, and he was sent to Kasauli, where there was a special hospital for the treatment of those who either suffer from rabies or who have been bitten by mad dogs. So whatever treatment they could give him, they gave him and discharged him as almost cured. When he came back to Qadian, after a while, he suffered from the same disease, from the attack of rabies this time. And that attack immediately overwhelmed him, and the signs of rabies totally appeared in every form. So he was, quarantined and locked up in a separate room, like people do to those people who become mad, because they never return from that madness. And without fail, they always die. So a telegram was sent to Kasauli, to the same doctors who had treated him. And the answer which came was, nothing can be done for Abdul Karim. As far as the medical science is concerned, is a case past repair. Hazrat Masih Maud Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam writes that, I pitied that boy so much that because he had come from far off, and he was the only son of his parents, or is it? Let me see, first check it up. No, this is not what is said. I think I have an impression. No. That is what was my impression, it is not written. He doesn't say he was the only son, but he says that his father had sent him with such high hopes of his spirit being religiously educated in my company and rising to spiritual heights. You know, that was the spirit behind his sending him, sending his son. So that created a very special sympathy in my heart for that boy, and I turned to God with very special prayers. And again God provided me with that very special state where while you are praying, you know that the prayer has been accepted. And that feeling overwhelmed my whole being and captured my heart very strongly, and I knew that this boy was saved. And suddenly he turned the corner, and while previously he could not bear the sight of water or anything shining, he could not open his eyes in light, because that is a special symptom of the rabies, that the people who are bitten by rabid dog and who suffer from rabies, they simply cannot see anything shining, because immediately they have a spasm of trachea, and they feel choked and suffocated. That is how the doctors describe it, but no such patient has ever described it himself, because he never returns to the normalcy. But the doctors know this is the phenomenon, why he suffers, because anything shining immediately causes a spasm in the trachea and he cannot breathe. So he had a desire for drinking water. The water was offered him and he started drinking, and everybody was wonderstruck. And then he took ablution and started saying prayer. Then the whole night he kept sleeping, while previously he was raving mad. and completely out of control. And within a few days, he returned to normalcy and lived a long, normal life. When this matter was reported to Kosali, they couldn't believe it. And everybody said that it is a person revived from the dead. So one of the employees of that institute, who was not an Ahmadi, he wrote a card to Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam and said that I happened to know him personally when he came here for treatment, and when the news reached me that the rabies symptoms had appeared, I knew it was a lost case, but I am overjoyed to hear that with your prayer, the blessing of your prayer, he has returned to normal health. So, this is what Messiah used to do, and which was repeated before our eyesight by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, this incident is so special that, as perhaps elsewhere I mentioned, one of the Russian scholars who writes about the religions in the Southeast Asia, while discussing Ahmadiyyat, picks out, among other things, this particular incident in explaining why people started believing in him despite very strong hostile opposition by the Orthodox Muslims. He says he claimed a special powers of his prayer and nearness to God, and when somebody asked him for prayer, he would pray and then tell in advance that the prayer had been accepted, and things about which he was told would happen should normally have not happened because things were apparently impossible. Yet some things did happen. You know, this is a Russian atheist paying this tribute to Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he quoted, among other things, this incident. He says, a man who is suffering from rabies, whose case is established, recorded case in the medical science, it is impossible for him to revive from that attack. But such a case is established that he did revive from that attack, got revived from that attack, and lived a long life. You know why this author, who was a lady, particularly picked this incident? Was because she started her investigation of Ahmadiyyat after the partition from Hyderabad, Deccan. And in Hyderabad, this man's children and grandchildren were living, you know, in large numbers. And only one of his grandsons died only a few, 2 years ago. And I said his janaza prayer ghaib here. So, because she had witnessed with her own eyes the living evidence of this prayer, so she could not deny it. And because in Kosali Institute, everything was recorded, so she must have had access to those records. Otherwise, she couldn't have spoken with such authority on the genuineness of this miracle. So this is a very special case of revival from the dead or curing a raving mad. Now we return to the classical commentators who discuss the fifth fifth aspect of Jesus Christ's miracles. That is, وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَعْقُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بِيُوتِكُمْ. And I would tell you of what you eat and what you save and hoard in your houses. Suddhi or Sadhi. How do you pronounce this word? Sadhi hai? That classical commentator and scholar, Muslim scholar. Mauli sahab? Suddhi? I used to pronounce it as Suddhi, but I am not sure. Find out officially. Anyway, as long as we don't not sure, we'll call him Suddhi. Suddhi says that in explanation of this part of the verse, that Hazrat Jesus Christ used to play with children. You know, he was a child lover. And he used to tell children what their parents used to do. So sometimes he would tell them that when you return home, your mother had cooked that special thing for you. You'll be, you know, happily surprised to find this. And verily, when he returned home, he did find her mother having cooked that special dish for him, or having hidden some delicacy for him, and he enjoyed it thoroughly. When this came known to others, they were afraid of the faith of their children, these parents. So what they did was, they told the children that this was a magician, and they should never go near him again. So once, when Jesus Christ didn't find the children coming to him anymore, he went to their houses in search of those children and knocked at one door, at the doors of those children. And at every door he would ask, "Where are the children? Why don't they come to meet me?" And the answer was, the answer was, "No, they're not here in the house." And Jesus, hearing this, the voices of children from the house, would ask, "What do I hear if the children are not here?" And the response would be, "They are pigs making noises." So the response of Jesus was, "So be the pigs." And actually they turned into pigs. This is the alleged miracle of Jesus Christ as understood by some of the classical scholars. Imagine. I mean, why should an enemy of Islam hit Islam on his own when Islam is being hit from within? So all the children, with the blessing of Jesus Christ, turned into pigs, and God recounted that, you know, as a special compliment to Jesus Christ. He was a great prophet of God. This is one of his blessings. But some people, some scholars in a saner mood, have written that this refers to, this happened this is written concerning the maida, the heavenly food promised to Jesus Christ, that his followers would be provided by a special provision from God, from heaven. And about him it is referred that he was used to tell them what you will have, what you will receive, and what you will save. And the miracle about this is that because it was ghaib, it was not known to others what would come their way, so because he foretold it, so that was the nature of the miracle, according to Imam Razi, which is the sanest explanation so far that we have read in regarding this part of the verse. Again, Tafsir Qasimi says things about all these miracles mentioned earlier, but the nature of his expression is about the same, so there is nothing new to tell you. As Musim al-Rasat Waslam's commentary, I think I have already spoken on that. I have already told you what we learned from Hazrat Masih Maud Aleyhis Salaam about the true nature of this verse and its implications. So it's a very long excerpt from the writings, which need not be recited here entirely, because as I know, the subject matter of this, the essence or the contents of this excerpt, I have already discussed. If I find anything which I have omitted so far, I'll let you know. He goes on building that concept of creating birds from clay and putting life into them in a very interesting manner. He discusses about his debates with some so-called Muwahideen, the monotheists who believed in all this, which is, according to his Masih Maud Aleyhis Salaam, evident idolatry. And then he tells us that according to the beliefs of many, those birds which he made not only survived, but reproduced. And if these are to be taken, such people are to be taken seriously, then whenever you shoot a bird, you have to wonder whether you are going to partake of Allah's creation or Jesus Christ's creation, because they have got all mixed up according to these scholars. So many of the birds today could be the creation of Jesus Christ. So I think all this has been generally covered by me, so let us not repeat that word for word again. Only when this would be published, we'll of course give all the references. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Awwal also, of course, has borrowed from Hazrat Masih Maud Aleyhis Salaam and says the same things which I have already told you. Khalifatul Masih Awwal, on the discussion of this verse, has the same thing to say, of course, as has been discussed in detail by Hazrat Masih Maud Aleyhis Salaam in his various writings. But also, he quotes some very interesting incidents which he himself observed. Because it was said by the earlier scholars that this part of the verse means Hazrat Masih Masih alayhi salatu wasalam used to tell everybody what he had hidden in his house by way of provisions, and what he had eaten the night before, and you know, that sort of thing. And because they actually believed, so some holy, so-called holy men also claimed that we can do the same thing. And it was reported about some that they can repeat this miracle. So he says that about some person, one particular gentleman, it was claimed that he can also do the same thing as Jesus Christ did, and he could tell, he was a physician by profession. So anybody who came to him, he would tell him what he had eaten the day before. So he got renowned for this quality. Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih Awwal says that when he investigated, he found that just opposite to him, it was a small town, was the shop of the grocer, and whoever went to that shop for buying some, you know, vegetable and things, this man was watching and taking note of that, that Mr. So-and-so has bought this, then Mr. So-and-so has bought that. And the next day when he returned as a patient to him, he would ponder and say, look here, I think you have eaten that, you know. But apart from that, a physician can tell to a degree, to a reasonable degree, what his patient has eaten. And because if he suffers from, particularly if he suffers from alimentary canal diseases, you know, stomach, etc. And I have myself experienced it many a time. To the surprise of my patients, I could tell them what they had eaten, because through long experience, I knew that this must have been the reason why they are suffering from that particular disease. And it is also reported about a hakim to whom a camel was brought, who could hardly breathe. He was choked, and there was a large swelling. So he was an intelligent hakim. It was not difficult for him to find out that the camel had tried to swallow a watermelon whole, and it was not a growth within the neck, within the throat, because the growths don't enlarge so rapidly. So he said, look here, I can cure him not with medicine but with two bricks. Bring two bricks. So he made the camel lie down and put one brick under his neck, and with the other brick he struck at that swelling, and the watermelon got broken and the passage was free and he was all right. So one of the passersby was watching, and he approached the hakim. He said, you have wrought wonders. What is this? How could you be so clever? How could you find out? So he explained to him that it was only watermelon and nothing wrong with that. So I struck at the watermelon, it got broken and the passage was free. So he said, all right, I'll remember it. So once he saw a patient of, what's it called, Gillard, you know? Thyroid, you know? Yes. Thyroid, which had grown to such a big size that it started pressing on the trachea, and the air passage was congested. And people were afraid for his life, and they were worried because it was very heavy breathing. And the patient was breathing very heavily. So this gentleman observed him for some time and said, don't worry at all. I know what happened. He must have eaten a watermelon. So bring me two bricks. So two bricks were provided, and you know what might have happened to that man. So these are just trickstries and things which are people's imaginations. Holy books don't speak of these things in these material, crude terms. What actually must have been referred by the Holy Quran was the special emphasis of Jesus of not hoarding material wealth and to sacrifice everything for the sake of God, and what they would hold in real, in all truth, would be the treasure which they would find with God after death. That was the emphasis of Jesus Christ, to which this verse obviously is referring. So I quote in the end from the New Testament. Two passages would remind you that this verse, this part of the verse of the Holy Quran, must have been referring to this style of Jesus Christ's address to his followers. He says, that is how it is with the man who amasses wealth for himself and remains a pauper in the sight of God. Matadakhirun, the people, worldly wise people who think they are amassing wealth in their house, but they are empty-handed as far as the sight of God is concerned. Luke 12:21. Then Matthew tells us that he said, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, tadakhirun, where it grows rusty and moth-eaten, and thieves break in to steal it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So that is the type of talk which Jesus Christ used to hold, and he also loved to speak in parables and cryptic languages. So this is the beauty of the Holy Quran, that to whom, about whomever he speaks, that it speaks, or let's say God records the conversation, the style is also the similar. When you read about Moses, for instance, the style of Moses is repeated. His whole personality is depicted in the conversation recorded about him in the Holy Quran. So when Jesus Christ is spoken of, you will find the same language which he used in his lifetime. And when the courts of Solomon and David are described, then you will see the same language repeated as was used in those days, of, you know, those expressions of grandeur and you know, extreme wonders. So this is why people cannot understand that jargon sometimes, which belongs to a particular era and sometimes to particular people, and start weaving stories about these things, not understanding the true import of this language. So this is one of the most prominent excellences of the Holy Quran in oratory, that when the Holy Quran describes the language of some personage, a historic person, it imitates him. The same style is used as would be expected of such a person. So this is the imagery of Jesus Christ being described as Jesus Christ in life was known to have said these things. So like old, after 10 or 15 minutes, inshallah, we'll be back in the mosque for the prayer. Assalamu alaikum.